Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ed and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys had a great weekend. August 1st today, great day. Weather's decent. How are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I've been doing absolutely wonderful all day, having a blast. I mean, this has been a fun day. Chemtrails are unbelievably heavy, so it's either going to monsoon or not rain today, one of the two. It's always like that on the days they spray us so heavily, but it's hot outside though, dog. It's hot, hot, hot.
Yeah, I know. I saw that when I was out there this morning. It just keeps getting warmer by the day, but that's pretty normal for Florida.
It is. It is. It really is.
Yeah. Well, the first article that I have today is Zika now, which there's been apparently four cases, whoop-de-whoop, in Florida. Now, state and local officials in South Florida down in Miami-Dade and all that area are now going door-to-door in some areas and asking residences for urine samples and other information as a result of the alleged local transmission. According, supposedly, four individuals located in Miami-Dade and Broward County have been infected with Zika as a result of local mosquitoes. Now, despite the fact there's been 386 cases of Zika in Florida throughout its actual existence, the mainstream media and health officials are treating this new transmission as a massive panic that we all need to flip out about. The issue with this is, given the authoritarianism that we've seen from the federal government and from local law enforcement that's in this culture now, this is quite strange for them to be acting this way as far as taking urine samples and information from these people, trying to figure out what's going on, considering the fact this is not any type of significant issue yet, with only four people supposedly being infected with it in a state that has this large of a population in a swamp. You can't expect to not have something like that when you live in mosquitoes every day. What do you think about that, Deb?
I think it's obfuscation. I think that they're going to find some big new outbreak of Zika as soon as they release something else on Hillary, and they'll basically completely just obscure the news and obfuscate it and basically run some more, you know, some damage control for Hillary. That's what I think this is all about. I don't think it has nothing to do with Zika. Zika is being caused by the pesticides and the chemicals that are being used down in South America, and there aren't that many cases of Zika down there linked to the mosquito at all. But microencephaly is actually one of the side effects of some of the pesticides they're using in South America, and they're just trying to make it a big deal like they did with Ebola. The difference is this time people really aren't biting. They're not saying, hey, look, you know, we were all scared of this, because Ebola was pretty frightening 3 years ago. I mean, they really had a huge outbreak in Africa, supposedly. They had a lot of quarantines. A lot of villages were going under. It was a major mess. But right now in the United States, this is a non-issue, and all it's going to be is obfuscation. And now it looks like Hillary is trying to schedule the debates with Trump on the evening of NFL football games. I'm going to repeat that. Hillary is trying to schedule the debate with Trump on the evenings of NFL football games, when the bulk of the audience who watches TV are watching the NFL. Well, I've got good news for that witch. That's not going to work. It won't work, because the truth of the matter is it won't matter. There's so many good old boys out there, they'll put their DVRs on the football game, and they're going to watch that debate, or they'll watch the debate on a DVR later. This debate is going to have huge, huge coverage, and they're going to be massive when Trump decides to put a whooping on this woman on national TV. It's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. And last week, you know, I talked about the Maltese government over in Europe, that they basically were absolutely livid about what Europe did as far as allowing that 18-month extension to continue on glyphosate. Now, EU's smallest member country, Malta, has officially started the process of completely banning any type of Monsanto glyphosate or any type of variant thereof from their 122-square-mile island nation in the Mediterranean Sea. Environmental Minister Jose Herrin said that Malta's opposition to glyphosate is based on the precautionary principle, which states that potentially hazardous protects should be used unless they can be proven safe. These guys are done. They're fed up. They're filing it formally now that they're completely banning glyphosate in their country. And obviously, we talked about before, France is on their way to trying to do that as well. These guys are sick of it. So I'm glad to see that there's some people standing up to what the European Union keeps doing and basically bowing down to Monsanto.
Well, you know, it's true. I mean, we had one of our customers, long-term customer, started having really bad stomach issues. In fact, she sent us another email today, and I sent you the answer back for it. And I personally believe she doesn't know what's causing it. She went into the doctor, the gastroenterologist, that she had a polyp. The truth of the matter is, when you put GMO foods in your stomach, and you put glyphosate in your stomach, and you eat these poison foods, you're going to see more and more and more gastrointestinal type disorders. They've gone through the roof with celiac disease, Crohn's disease, inflammation of the intestinal tract. Our body is not designed to eat poison, because remember, when they put that poison gene in that corn, so when the bugs eat it, they die, that poison basically makes that corn crop be reclassified as a pesticide. And so then we feed that to animals. It's not supposed to be getting into human food, but there's no guarantee that it's not, because of the high fructose corn syrup. And plus, because of epigenetics, if it goes into a cow, starts changing their DNA, then goes into us, it starts inflaming our intestinal tract. Guys, I did a whole show on this on Friday night for an entire hour on Doug's show, on Hagman's show. It's really, really important that you guys not eat foods that are not organic. And the key way to do that is, look at your food budget every month. If you're eating out or you're buying packaged foods, the organic packaged foods are insanely overpriced. They really are. They're ridiculous. But organic beans and rice and, you know, chicken will go on sale and all those different things. That's what we do. We wait until the chicken gets on a big, what they call a push list or pull list, and which is really being discounted at the local, you know, health food store. In fact, we have a little health food store here in town. That's how we do it. That's how we buy our stuff. We wait until it goes on sale. That's the easiest way to do this. And if you stop eating out all of the time, stop drinking sodas all the time, stop eating a bunch of food that's really unhealthy but it's expensive, guys, you could save a lot of money and eat organic. It's just really important. Every time we go out to a restaurant in Austin that's not organic, which we very rarely do, it's only when we're invited out to dinner, for about 3 or 4 days after I eat that food, son, I'm kind of foggy in the brain. It's very frustrating to me. In fact, there's a place, it's called the Columbia Restaurant over in Orlando. The food tastes great. And the last time Sharon and I went there, they've got some really, really good Cuban bread that's just phenomenal. But it's all sprayed with glyphosate because we know it's not organic because it's wheat. And oh my gosh, Austin, I felt awful for almost a week. And I haven't gone back since then because it's simply not, it's not worth trying to recover from the stuff once it gets you like that.
No, it's not. It's horrible. I had the same discussion with my friends the other day because they started on the GHI cleanse and really clean up the diet, trying to get the stomach inflammation down because they were having the exact same thing you're talking about. A bunch of inflammation and pain in the stomach. Just same problems over and over and over again that we've seen. And he's run the GHI cleanse for about 2 weeks. Said he was feeling a ton better. His digestive system was feeling good. He was clean enough as far as using a lot of organic vegetables and trying to stay with fish. And then I guess he went out and he went and had a cheeseburger from some restaurant the other week. And he said, man, it wrecked his stomach. He said for the entire day he had an upset stomach all day, all night, until he basically finally eliminated that out of his system. And that's we hear that a lot. When you start getting on a clean diet, when you start eating the really clean organic foods, you start taking these high-quality nutrients on a regular basis, and then you occasionally mess up and you put some really bad garbage in your body, boy, it doesn't work, and your body does not like it at all. And I've told you guys this on the show before, and I'm going to say it again. Back when Lana was pregnant, my wife was pregnant with our son Hunter, she was really strict with her diet, and a few key times, and this is after she had any type of issues with morning sickness, that was cleared up, no issues at all. There's about 2 or 3 times she went out and she had dinner at a place or food here at a restaurant, and almost every single time she went out and ate food, she'd get so sick and end up throwing up essentially all the food she ate. And that only happened with that type of food. Every time we ate the organic clean food, every time I made dinner and lunch for the house, she never had a single issue with it. So we finally started realizing that it doesn't matter a lot of these places. Even if you think it's clean food, most of it's not. Unless they're actually giving you certified non-GMO, at least certified non-GMO food. I know at Chipotle's, even as clean as I eat, when I go to Chipotle's, I don't have any issues with digestive problems when I eat there. But like Dad just said, with the wheat, this just came out today. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced Friday that 22 unapproved GMO wheat plants have been discovered in Washington State, sending export markets into panic. What's interesting about this, the discovery of the unapproved illegal GMO wheat has led to a crackdown on Friday in the export market. Because remember, guys, we've talked about this before, there are no GMO wheat varieties for sale or in commercial production in the United States at all. Now, however, most of the wheat that's not certified organic, they spray it with glyphosate about a week before they harvest it to basically tighten it up, and then they pull it up that way. But they're actually finding this GMO wheat that wasn't even supposed to be out. It's called MON71700, containing CP4 EPSPS protein, and that's not even legal to have or grow, and they found 22 patches of them up in Washington State. So that's what we talked about before, guys, the effects of what this GMO food is doing to our bodies, to our environment, to the entire ecosystem in general is something we're not even going to see the really nasty effects for another 10 to 15 years. And by that time, it's going to be so late.
Well, I'm going to say this again, and I'm going to just, I got to say it this way because there's no other way to say it. In Genesis chapter 6, when the fallen angels came down and they started teaching all of this hybrid growth and how to do hybrid foods, et cetera, and mingling the seeds and all the thing it talks about in the book of Enoch, they weren't doing it because they were trying to promote human health. Remember, everything that Yahweh created, these guys hate. They really hate him. They really hate Yeshua. And the thing that we don't understand is that he's our advocate against these fallen angels. And he doesn't want them to completely subdue the earth like they've done. This was supposed to be set up for his children. And what they've done is they want to turn everything upside down that God made. They're destroying the planet. I'm just going to be direct with you guys. They're destroying the planet. They're destroying the fisheries. I remember years ago, we lived on a lake here in Central Florida. It was called Lake Mariana. And this is when I was a kid. And the water was so clean when we first went there. They used to throw big pipes into it when they were building the railways down in South Florida. And they would put the water on tanker trucks, and they made it potable right out of the lake. This is back in the 40s. They would actually drink the water down in Miami when they were working on the railroad because it was so pure. That lake now, because of glyphosate, because of phosphates, because of chemicals in the sewage and nitrogen, is completely polluted. I mean, it was like living on a spring, and it was so clear. The lake that we currently live on, we have a house here on a lake in Central Florida. Everybody pretty much lives on a lake here. It was pristine when we moved here 23 years ago, but now it's gotten cloudy. The mussels, the shells that were keeping the water clean, have all pretty much died. And it's getting dirtier and dirtier and dirtier in the last couple of years. And so now it's to the point where I don't even want to go swimming in anymore. We used to just take like a little boat, you know, a little rowboat or whatever, and row out in the middle of the lake and throw an anchor out and just dive over the water. It's 20 feet deep, super cool in the summertime, super clean water, super nice. Oh, it was wonderful. Awesome. You remember us doing that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now I don't even want to go in it anymore because of the bacteria count and all the junk that's in it. And I keep telling the neighbors, stop spraying the glyphosate, but nobody wants to listen. But I want to cover a couple things here real quick. I want to talk about multiple painkillers and prescribed drugs and over-the-counter drugs and their natural counterparts. This is really important. Let's talk about OxyContin, hydrocodone, Vicodin. You know, these are currently the most prescribed drugs in the world. Okay, more and more doctors are getting huge payouts from pharmaceutical companies to promote these types of drugs. They make up 20% of the top prescribed medications. Dr. Thomas Frieden, director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, told Fox News that doctors are handing out narcotics like candy. Some doctors are giving patients prescriptions for narcotics for even minor injuries. Here's how it works. They're orally psychoactive. Excuse me. Compounds that work as a narcotic. Okay, awesome. Go with another story. I got to take some water.
Get some water, man. And also, too, I wanted to bring up that I just got it in earlier. The DARK Act, too, was officially signed by King Obama. Looks like on Friday afternoon, the law S-764, which we call the DARK Act 2.0, which Monsanto actually helped write, which basically gives these really, really vague requirements, and they have to use either scan bar or a website or a phone number or any type of vague wording they want. And get away from this GMO, this labeling thing. So we already knew it went through the Senate. We were just waiting for it. But yes, he did sign in the act. So it is law now. Hopefully, we'll see if Trump can actually do something with Obama's executive orders. I'm not sure if he can or not. We have to see. Let me see here. that's another one, too. Got an interesting article. Venezuela now is now instituting forced labor, ordering citizens to do farm work. And this is what happens in socialist country. This is what always happens. And in an effort to deal with the country's food shortages, the government has now decreed that citizens who are physically able will have to work on Venezuelan farms for at least 60 days per year, which isn't a whole lot, but that's still, regardless of what their current job entails, workers will still be paid their normal salaries and can't be fired from their day jobs. The government reserves the right to increase this farm work period if needed. Obviously, this doesn't work very well. Venezuela doesn't have food shortages because people aren't working the fields. They have plenty of people that are already working the fields. High-yield farms require equipment and fertilizers that can't be made domestically anymore, and nobody is basically buying any of these supplies abroad. So essentially what they're doing, they're going to just make more manual labor by forcing people to work 60 days a year now in these farms, which still isn't going to fix the overall issue. But this is what happens, guys. This is what happens in a socialist country we've talked about so many times. It doesn't work. It costs somebody something. It costs somebody something to plant that seed. It costs somebody something to manufacture that fertilizer. It costs somebody something to ship that fertilizer. All this stuff costs money. It's not free. It never has been free. It never will be free. And when you base a society on free stuff, it always ends up this way. Every time. There's no question about it. That's what's so stupid about the idea that all these liberals that everybody else want to promote. It doesn't work. It never works, and it never has. And that's why it was never adopted in this country in the first place.
Well, it's interesting. I have I've been outside breathing too many chemtrails, if you wonder what's going on. The weather's pretty hot outside right now. This kind of messed my throat up. It started on Friday night with Hagman. But what the truth is, Austin, you're absolutely right. The free giveaway is always temporary. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that. In fact, I did that show last night. We ran a rerun about why the Democrats are the parties of leeches and basically just, you know, takers. That's what they are. Because they always want more and more and more free stuff. But let's talk about we talked about pain for just a second ago with the oxycodones and the heroin epidemic. We've talked about all of that. But the natural things that you can do for pain, we've got a great product. It's called Joint Relief Formula. And we've got another product, the cod liver oil. The biggest problem with pain is inflammation. And you set up what's called a cascading series of nerve impulses. What happens? You have like a feedback loop. The body says it's in pain. It starts inflammation. It continues like in a circle, and you've got to break the loop. And the way you do that is you have to stop the inflammation as quickly as possible. You can ice down a joint. If you had to take a painkiller for the joint initially, that's one thing. I don't recommend that long term because of the liver effects and also the addictive qualities of that. But start on the cod liver oil, start on the joint rebuilding formula, the joint relief formula, and it really, really makes a huge, huge difference as far as getting rid and managing pain, particularly the cod liver oil. What else do you want to recommend for that, Oz?
Did you mention the turmeric?
No, turmeric's excellent for that. It's one of the best anti-inflammatory agents out there, period.
Yeah, the turmeric's been a big one. I've been a big proponent of that, especially recently, pushing the pericarditis over. The turmeric has been very good. I'm still running between, depending on what day it is, what's going on, anywhere between 10 to 16 capsules a day on that stuff. And it definitely made a difference because there's been a few days that I've either forgot it or I've run out of a bottle and I don't have it. And I can definitely tell a marked difference in inflammation in the chest area and throughout the body with that stuff. It's a really, really good product for inflammation.
Next one I want to talk about, most prescribed drugs, are statin drugs. Now, you guys know how I feel about statins. This is Lipitor, Zocor, Crestor. They all cause cancer, period. They don't reduce the risk of heart disease, and they cause hardening of the arteries. I mean, they don't do anything. But if you want to reduce your cholesterol naturally, you can change your diet. You can drink more distilled water, at least half your body weight in fluid ounces. You can be taking turmeric every day, green tea, the purple sticks, also cod liver oil. And we also have a cholesterol program, don't we, Austin? Tell them about that.
Yeah, the cholesterol, we have the Cholesterol X along with the vascular relaxant, and we always stack that with the cod liver oil as well. Those three are a really good base. Just those right there usually make a significant difference. The vascular relaxers are as a very, very high dose. Sustained release niacin works very good at breaking down LDLs. The Cholesterol X has our polycosanol and magnesium, and then the cod liver oil just has great anti-inflammatories, as Dad just said, and is very positive on the lipid levels. Those three basic compounds right there will do an incredibly good job at maintaining healthy cholesterol, if your diet is correct. Now, obviously, if you decide you want to go eat McDonald's triple cheeseburgers and Slurpees all day, and that's going to be your lifestyle, then, you know, obviously cholesterol probably isn't an issue to you. But with a moderately healthy lifestyle, those three supplements can work substantially well at keeping cholesterol on a really, really good healthy level.
And plus, you don't have to limit eggs. Eggs are, that's
no.
A lie. Eggs are good for you, period. Whole eggs, all of them. Next one is high blood pressure. People are always asking about high blood pressure. Well, high blood pressure, they have all kinds of side effects. They can cause cancer, blood disorders, high blood pressure pills, development of breasts in men, impotence, depression, tachycardia, enlargement of the gums, inflammation of the liver, elevated blood sugars, hepatitis, cause life-threatening skin conditions. There's all kinds of natural things that you can do, including magnesium. Magnesium needs to be taken in a high enough concentration with a foot bath, etc. And also, remember, low-salt diets do not decrease blood pressure, period. That's not the problem, okay? If you start cutting back on your salt, you're going to cause all kinds of other problems. That's why we use the really high-quality salt on our website that are amazing. You can also, there are all kinds of natural supplements that you can take. Vitamin C supplements actually reduce blood pressure without any side effects associated with them. And also, the HGH Stimulate does an absolute great job in lowering blood pressure. A lot of times, bananas can help lower blood pressure. Now, also, you can lose some weight. In a lot of cases, you're a little bit overweight or a lot overweight when your blood pressure starts to go up. You can do that. If you're not overweight, you just want to get some type of exercise to help lower blood pressure, use a mini trampoline. Those are the little round trampolines that you buy at the Play It Against Sport Place or wherever you want to get them. They're not very expensive. And what you get, help put a chair or have a handle on top of it, get the ones with a handle, and just jog on that very lightly. You say, well, I can't jog. Okay, then walk on it. Get used to walking on the springing effect. That is the single best exercise that you can ever do if you have high blood pressure to help reduce blood pressure. Now, what you don't want to do if you have high blood pressure is you don't want to be lifting weights with real high reps, especially over your head. You don't want to do that. You don't want to give yourself a stroke. And also, do not allow high blood pressure to go untreated. You've got to change the lifestyle to get this blood pressure down because you can cause kidney damage with it. You can't ignore high blood pressure. They call it the silent killer for a reason. Next thing, Synthroid. Consequences. Long-term suppression of the thyroid-stimulating hormone, TSH, causes cardiac side effects and contributes to decreases in bone and mineral density. High TSH levels are so well known to contribute to osteoporosis. May also cause elevated blood glucose levels, heart failure, coma, and adrenal insufficiency. TSH directly influences the whole process of iodine trapping and thyroid hormone production, so use the Synthroid directly. So use of Synthroid directly affects how the body metabolizes iodine. All kinds of things. Seaweed extracts can help you with that. There's all kinds of different nutrients that you can take to help your thyroid. But the truth of the matter is we have a really good potassium iodide product and we have a thyroid support formula, which has really helped a lot of people. But the key here with thyroid is you have to avoid halogens. That's bromines, chlorines, and fluorines, which means you don't drink chlorinated water ever, period. And you stay away from bread that contains bromides. Those are like death to the thyroid. The thyroid thinks that those minerals, those chemicals, are iodine. And what it does, it absorbs them directly into the thyroid gland. And when it does that, it causes all types of health problems. It can cause hypothyroidism, which will make you gain weight very, very quickly. So avoid that as much as humanly possible. You really, really need to stay off of all thyroid hormones if you can and try the natural approach like we do. But first, you need to make sure you get off the fluorine and the chlorine in the water. Get one of our distillation systems. Austin, what are the other products that we have for that?
As far as the water distillers or the thyroid?
For the thyroid.
Yeah, the thyroid support and the potassium iodide are the two best products we carry. They're both reasonably priced. The thyroid support is really, really high quality stuff. We use Guggolsterones in it. There you have to be mandatory at least 85% or higher potency. Most companies that throw Guggol in their products usually use a very low grade version. That is one of the reasons, if you guys remember, last year we had a difficult time getting the thyroid back in stock, the thyroid support back in stock, because that was the main ingredient we were out of, and we could not get a supplier that actually had a really good, high-quality version of it. Everything was very, very low quality, and that's one of the reasons why. why that product works so well. I've had numerous people give me all kinds of testimonies that they've been able to stop this or do that under their doctor's supervision and just run the thyroid support as a natural supplement, and it works really good for that. Blood work comes back great, really keeps the metabolism going as well. I've used the product repeatedly for quite some time, especially if you're trying to get back into exercising and cardio and burning body fat. It does a really good job of getting the thyroid in a good, healthy range so you can really burn body fat when it's used in conjunction with a healthy diet and exercise.
I take it every day, along with the potassium iodide. The thyroid gland is so critically important. You can't overstate how important it really is. The next one is Prilosec. This is generic versions of Nexium. Okay, they're used as an antacid. Basically, a proton pump inhibitor, which constitutes just over 8% of all the top prescribed medicines. 8% are proton pump inhibitors. Unbelievable. They're used for acid reflux. How it works, it suppresses gastric acid secretion by specific inhibition of the gastric acid ions in cells, hence the proton pump inhibitor. The absorption of omeprazole takes place in the small intestine, essentially during the off the switch, which promotes healthy digestion of foods. It's also completely metabolized by the digestive system. Consequences of using Prilosec, this is huge, very, very important, you listen to this: angina, ulcers, tachycardia, elevated heart rate, you know that one, all about that, don't you, Oz? Palpitations, elevated blood pressure, development of male breasts, inflammation of the pancreas, irritable colon, atrophy of the tongue, that sounds awful, liver disease, blood pressure elevated, muscle weakness, skin conditions, tinnitus, inflammation of the eyes, urinary frequency, testicular pain, anemia, and blood cell orders. I won't sign up for that one. I know when Austin had the problem with his heart, they put him on one of these proton pump inhibitors for a week, and immediately he had elevated blood pressure. So we went back, not blood pressure, heart rate. And when we went back to the doctor 5 days later, we said, why is his heart rate so high? And I said, one of the side effects is this proton pump inhibitor. They had no idea, Austin, that was one of the side effects of the proton pump inhibitor. And as soon as you stopped taking the proton pump inhibitor, your heart rate dropped like 20 beats a minute, like within 48 hours after you got off that particular drug. So, guys, these are drugs. They have horrible side effects. They may be necessary for a life-threatening condition that you have to take for a temporary amount of time. But, guys, you don't want to be taking proton pump inhibitors forever. Now, what we do with those is I use two products for that. If I get too much food in one meal, I use a digestive enzymes because it prevents acid reflux. Because I'm 60 years old, and if I eat too much or late at night, I don't want to go to bed with acid reflux. The reason that happens is you're not producing enough acid when you get older, and the esophageal sphincter at the base of the esophagus, right at the top of the stomach, doesn't detect high enough concentrations of acid, and it doesn't close the sphincter muscle off. So what ends up happening is when you lay down, it has a tendency to come back up in your chest, or you'll start burping or belching. So what most people do is take the proton pump inhibitors, which stops the acid production, but then you can't digest your food. Long-term side effects include cancer and every other disease that I mentioned. So what I do is I take the digestive enzymes, but what I learned is a product we have is called Living Fuel. And Living Fuel is a little bit pricey. It's $100 a can, but it's phenomenal. If I take two scoops of that a day, every day, first thing in the morning on an empty stomach, I completely have eliminated the need for taking digestive enzymes unless I really have a late meal, which I very rarely eat. And I was having to take them with every single meal, Austin. And within about 3 weeks after starting on that particular product, it completely went away. So, yeah, great product. I love it. I even took it to Europe with me because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to have to start back that again. Amoxicillin is the next one. Antibiotics. Antibiotics, guys. Inflammation of the liver, inflammation and destruction of the stomach lining, destruction of the healthy bacteria populations, inflammation of the colon, allergic reactions, obesity, human antibody resistance. Sometimes you have to take antibiotics. That's a fact. There's no way out of that. But garlic works very well. The turmeric works very well. The black seed oil works very, very well. And the astragalus work very well for minor types of infections. And I've used all of those. And I tell you what, guys, they're absolutely amazing. And if you have been on antibiotics a lot, it's critically important that you go ahead and start on our Acidophilus product, because what that allows you to do is to rebuild the colon population of the flora back up, which helps to make the different vitamins, and especially the B vitamins in your system, really, really important. Austin, anything you want to add to that?
No, that's pretty good on that one.
Okay. The next one is metformin.
Yeah.
It's an oral antibiotic, anti-diabetic drug. Okay. Lactose acidosis, impaired liver kidney function, pancreatic cancer, decreased thyroid stimulating hormone, decreased testosterone, increased homocysteine levels, malabsorption of B12, bladder cancer, heart failure. The biggest consequences of diabetes drugs is that it causes pancreatic function to substantially decrease, inhibiting several hormones and causing other imbalances, which are never correctable without abstaining from the drug. Okay. Here's the thing. We have the blood sugar protocol, the Hagman blood sugar program, the Dave Hodges blood sugar program. It's the same thing. And what it does, it helps you to get rid of Syndrome X and helps the folks that have adult onset diabetes. And it really helps to stabilize the blood sugar, and it really helps the people to start to utilize the insulin their body's already making. But it requires a dietary change. You can't go out, like Austin said, and drink Slurpees all day and drink sodas all day and wonder why your blood sugar is still high. It doesn't work. You can't be sucking down 18 cups of coffee a day and wondering why it's not working, okay? You've got to really make a dietary change, and we go over all of that with you when you decide you want to order that program from Health Masters. Anything you want to add on that one, Oz?
Yeah, it's a great protocol. It's definitely very, very effective. And, I get sometimes people ask, and they call and they write us in, and they say, hey, that's something, I would like to get, but first, I'm really on a budget. And I tell people the best thing to start off with is our cinnamon extract and our B-complex. That's a really, really strong glucose support supplement right there. It can really help maintain healthy blood sugar if used with a very strict diet. But those two are the first ones that you can start off with if you're on a budget. The full protocol is definitely going to be the best one to go with, and that's the one we get the best results with. But something for the time being to hold you over, those two are definitely a good starter point if you're trying to conserve cash.
Well, it's also interesting. The Diabetic Journal of India said that folks who start on turmeric who are pre-diabetic, that it stops it. They never get diabetes, the adult onset diabetes, just turmeric. So my triple stack, if you don't want to go on the whole program, would be the cinnamon, the turmeric, and the what was the other one, Austin?
B-complex.
Yeah. Also, there's another one too that we have. It's got the trace minerals in it. It's the one that's for the blood sugar.
Multiple?
No. It's the one that has all of the. I'll look it up in a second. I'm not at the office right now, but it has all the trace. It has the chromium in it.
Yeah, the cinnamon extract has the chromium in it.
Oh, okay. It has cinnamon. Okay. So I forgot. Okay, that's the other. That's what I was talking about. Okay. What's your next story?
Well, this is interesting now. This is a completely different topic, but apparently the lawsuit that's pending against the firearms manufacturers and also the Firearm Risk Protection Act, along with the Sandy Hook lawsuit, is now trying to throw the Orlando shooting in to strengthen the Sandy Hook lawsuit. Various attempts now for gun manufacturers to hold them criminally responsible for murders by which their products are used. You got to put your headset on. I'm hearing myself, bud.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
You back?
I'm back.
Okay. Well, what they're doing now with that law they're trying to pass is they're trying to make it the ability that firearm manufacturers and gun sellers can be held civilly liable for any type of issues that happen with their guns. They want to prohibit basically any type of the protection on these manufacturers. So if somebody buys an AR-15 and a box of ammo from a dealer, they want to be able to turn around and sue the dealer and the manufacturer and basically turn around and take them for everything they're worth. They put this together now. They're using this whole incident in Orlando, this false flag shooting over there, as what they want to do to add on to the Sandy Hook lawsuit that they've already been working on, which we both know, we all know, the Sandy Hook, that whole thing over there, nobody even knows the real truth about it, but one thing everybody does know is it did not happen any way that we've been told it happened. And I'm pretty certain after being in Orlando, going to that club after it happened, seeing what was going on, talking to a lot of the officers there, I'm pretty confident that that whole situation was different as well. Not saying people didn't die, but they're using this regardless as an excuse to try and attack the American manufacturers of these really high-quality, reliable firearms. That way, as soon as something happens, they can immediately shut these guys down one by one by one. Remington was the main one that got named in that with the Sandy Hook, because they said that a Remington AR-15 was the one that was used in the shooting, which was crazy because even the initial reports they came out with said that they found an AR-15 in the trunk of Adams' car and that he had handguns on him inside of the building. So that whole story we know is full of holes, but this is interesting now that they're trying to couple the Orlando shooting to strengthen the Sandy Hook lawsuit as well.
Well, you're absolutely right. By the way, the pesticide industry lobbied $33 million last year to influence legislative processes. I knew nobody would be surprised at that. Austin, I've got to take a break for just a second. I'll be right back, okay? I'll leave my headset laying here.
All right. All right. And so this is an interesting article right here. This one was kind of strange. This is down in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which we know Albuquerque's home is the most dangerous cops. I'm not being sarcastic. That's the truth. I mean, they've had more officer-involved shooting on civilians than like any other city in the world in Albuquerque, New Mexico. This is even better now. After a recent federal appeals court ruling this week, the world now knows, like never before, that basically the police state is out in full force. The court in Albuquerque, New Mexico held up the arrest and charges of a 13-year-old boy for burping in class. The 10th Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the cop who arrested the child and the school staff were entitled to immunity from any type of lawsuit filed against them on behalf of the child. Albuquerque's Cleveland Middle School, and yes, I said that, middle school, after repeatedly burping in class instead of simply disciplining the child, the school called the cops. The 13-year-old boy, who was in 7th grade at the time, was in search, arrested, handcuffed, and brought into jail for burping. After being held in juvenile detention center for over an hour, his mother was finally informed that her son had been arrested. The boy's mother filed a lawsuit, arguing that her son's arrest was unlawful and resulted in excessive force. However, thanks to the legal system and now the 10th Circuit Court is holding up that it's complete and totally okay for them to act any way they want against these children, and that basically there are no ramifications. What's crazy about this is that, you know, normally in schools back in the day, obviously they had spanking, which worked phenomenal. But, you know, after school detention, in school detention, calling his parents, taking him out of class, even a possible, you know, suspension, something like that. But what they're doing now is they're indoctrinating these kids, and we've talked about it numerous times now, into this police state, and they're pushing it harder and harder and harder. And what they're doing is they're making this younger generation absolutely terrified of law enforcement, essentially making them look at them as Gestapo. That, you know, as soon as you do something, you keep burping in class, you're being disruptive, you're being a brat, you probably do need a spanking, but instead of getting a spanking or detention, you get the cops called on you, you're search, arrested, and taken to jail at 13 years of age for basically being a brat and burping in class. This is not acceptable, and the whole reason they're doing this has nothing to do with his out-of-line behavior or anything like that. It has to do with the fact that they're allowing the schools and the police departments, and they're intentionally encouraging it, to treat these kids as if they're in a prison setting. That way they can indoctrinate them into thinking, this is what we're in. We're in basically a new world order. We're in a police state. You do what you're told. You don't burp. You don't breathe. You don't go to the bathroom. You don't eyeball anybody, or else the cops show up and forcibly detain you and take you off to jail. This is what's going on in our public school system now. This is why I've talked about so many times about going to at least the private schools. Some of the a lot of them are decent. Some of them are getting worse now. But even a lot of the homeschool groups are popping up that are getting really popular, where families are coming together and having these homeschool groups where they work, they learn, they work with each other, they teach with each other, and they give their kids the learning skills, A, that they really need instead of this Common Core garbage, and secondly, they don't allow them to be indoctrinated in this police state mindset that the elementary, middle school, and high schools now are massively forcing into these kids. And this is just one thing that's happened. this, I got a whole laundry list of them in the back room that I've seen over the last 2 or 3 years about kids going to jail for, you know, there was one kid that got suspended. The cops showed up and they detained him. Those cops detained him because he wrote a love letter to a girl in class. They were like 9 years old. You know, this kind of stuff is getting more and more egregious with the law enforcement and the schools. And this is one of the reasons why I tell people all the time, do the best you can, if you can, to keep your kids out of these public school settings, because it's not going to get any better at all. As you've seen with the last 10 to 15 years, it's only going to get worse. Let me see here. Got another article. Oh, yeah, one thing I wanted to bring up, too. This is interesting. The I talked about it last week with Monsanto now. They've basically gone in and they, because of what happened over there in the European Union, the 18-month extension on it, now they're basically trying to file to push more openings for the glyphosate. That's why I brought up earlier about the Maltese government is actually banning Monsanto out of their country completely. They don't want any glyphosate even coming into their country, because what's happening is every time these countries do stuff like the EU is doing and they allow this extension, then Monsanto goes in and they start petitioning, and I can't use the word bribe, but they start donating money to these other countries, giving them support, doing things that they know they shouldn't be doing, but they want to basically capture the votes that they need, and that's what they keep doing. The same thing that happened with this DARC Act, too, that we saw. Monsanto was actually donating large amounts of cash to some of the companies that were involved, including, you know, working with Whole Foods and writing this bill. Whole Foods is still a decent place. Lana, my wife, has gone there a few times with stuff. And the way she's always gone, this is back to our earlier topic, if you guys are ever curious, if you're trying to get some of the organic food and you only have an option like Whole Foods, go online, go on different sites, go to the paper, and pull up different coupons. That's always how she's done it, because their food there is expensive, especially any of the packaged stuff, even canned food. Is very expensive there. There's no question about it. I'm not going to argue with you on that. But all the times, they're always running coupon sales and different little specials on things here and there. And so when she'll go over there, she'll go over there with a whole pile of stuff. And she's not even a couponer. She doesn't even do that. Like, people get weird with that. But she does it over there. And, I mean, she's come home before with 2 or 3 bags of groceries from Whole Foods, and her whole bill was only like $60, $70. And it's all organic. So that's one thing that I like about it. Whole Foods still has a lot of good food there. What they're trying to do is they're trying to make the labeling act as lenient as possible, because they do sell a lot of food there that's not organic and it is GMO, so they don't want to have to cut into that market in there by start having to label all this stuff GMO, because they know as soon as they put a can on their shelf that says this product contains GMO food, nobody's going to buy it at Whole Foods, because the majority of people that shop there are very, you know, cognitive of what's going on. So that's one aspect that everybody kind of has to understand, is that Whole Foods has an agenda because they're a business. They make a lot of money. They like to make a lot of money, and they want to continue doing that. So if they can prevent GMO labeling from happening, they're going to do so. That's just part of it. Let's see here. Also, too, other news here. Bear with me a second, guys. I just lost all my notes on this. Oh, and I touched it based on last week about Russia is now banning all high GMO or glyphosate content animal feed. So they're banning all the imports on it in general. They're going to do it more and more. They're basically claiming that they're going to be a full non-GMO country by 2020. So that's going to be something that they're trying to do and push that even further. So we see that more and more around the globe, getting people away from glyphosate. Now another article's come out from the Prepper Fortress by Amy that the UN now is basically allowing the depopulation of about 3 billion people by food malnutrition. The classified UN documents revealed that 1 billion people will be killed by starvation, as UN trade agreements and WHO Health will forbid any country from selling and exporting any food to targeted regions for depopulation. So starvation of 3 billion people has already begun, as the United States has been using its weapon of mass destruction called HARP to control, alter, intensify the weather of the targeted nations. This is interesting. This past summer, we saw that there was a huge heat wave in Russia, resulting in near complete destruction of some of its crops. Now, a lot of people are saying they think that was Harp. Was it? I'm not 100% sure. A lot of people think it was, though, because it was completely unprecedented in that area. And over this past summer, the U.S. also, that we saw, possibly had some type of impact on the flooding in China and Pakistan, which could have been an attempt to wipe out the crops of China and Pakistan, resulting in the starvation of other people. We see this over and over and over again with what's going on with the weather manipulation. We're seeing what's going on out west with it, and even in California now. I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day that was out there. They told me that the drought has gotten so horrible that it basically, they can't even, the water is, it's so hard to get a hold of large amounts of water because either the agricultural areas are sucking it all up, and a lot of it is going to these giant residential compounds. They were saying the other day how people are getting fined, you know, just average people, $200-$300 a month fines for overusage on basic water where they're not even hardly using water, just for home usage, toilets, showers, if they have a lot of people in their house. And then these other families over there, you know, like you got the Kardashians and families with these multi-acre compounds that have grass and roses and all this fancy landscape and irrigation, and their water stays on, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours a day over there, and they get, you know, a $1,500, $2,000 fine every month, and they just pay it. The problem is you can't create water with money. Nobody understands that. It doesn't matter if you fine them $100,000. You can't collect any more water from it. The water's being dissipated. So they're in an issue out there. I don't know what they're going to do in the long run if they can't get some significant water. I saw a lot of photos, and their lakes, all kinds of stuff, are just literally shrinking up to next to nothing. And that's an issue because, I mean, that's a huge area of crops out there, that whole western area. So if we start seeing a massive decrease in food production from out in California, it's going to affect us all the way across the U.S., and that's why that FEMA contractor we talked about a couple months ago was saying that basically by middle of 2020-ish, we're going to start seeing some serious food shortage issues. And right now, there's no chance that we're even going to be able to sustain anything like that with our current population intake with the food that we're taking in.
No, you're right, Austin. The craziest thing about this is that the high pressure zone that's parked out in the Pacific is HARP induced. And whenever you do this, when you hit all that pressure, it messes up both the North and South Pole as far as the ozone layers. I mean, this thing is a major, major mess what it's doing. I need to do a whole show on that and how HARP affects the entire ozone and the entire planet every time they turn that thing on. It's a major disaster. And I've been told, now I don't know if this is true or not, that the reason they won't turn HARP off out of the Pacific and let it start raining out there again like it's supposed to and get snow built back up again is that the Fukushima radiation has gotten so bad that they don't want it raining radioactive water in the United States, and they're shunting it to the north and to the south. Now, whether that's true, I don't know. It could be a combination of that. It could also be a combination of the fact that they're trying to decrease the food population, trying to drive the farmers out. It's just, again, remember, these are the globalists doing this. It's all about crippling the United States, shorting the food production, making us go hungry, because a population that is starving to death will eat GMO foods.
Yep.
A population that is starving to death will eat trans fats. A population that is starving to death will eat pork. It doesn't make any difference. If you're completely hungry and starving, it doesn't make any difference. You're going to eat something so you don't die, because your health, long-term wise, isn't as important as not dying within 30 days from starvation. And that's what folks don't get. And that's one of the quickest ways they're going to put people in the FEMA camps, is that they're going to shut the food production off, hit us with an EMP causing a Compton effect, wiping out all of the electronics, coming back in saying, we have food, we have water, give us your guns, come on in, and they'll have turnstiles you're going into, one-way turnstiles, and when you go in, you can't get back out. You see them at the airports. A lot of times on the international flights, you'll leave an area that has been totally secure, you go through the international flights, you go out, there's like these big bars, these big turnstiles, and they only go in one direction, and on the other side is a set of other bars that go that counter-oppose them. You can't go back in after you leave those areas. That's the kind of stuff they're planning on doing to us, hopefully not in the near future. And see, that's why it's so important that we go ahead and do all we can do to get Donald Trump in the office, because he's a nationalist. He doesn't want this. He sees what's coming, and at least we had a billionaire who was willing to fund his own campaign and stand against the masses of Democrats and communists and Satanists that have tried and are taking over the United States. That's what he's done. Because remember, the Federalist Society has come in and controlled both houses of Congress now for a long, long time, since the 90s, because they came in and started controlling all the law schools, all these different things. We talked about this on the show before. And the craziest thing about all of this is that Trump knows what's going on. And I have friends that I know personally who are friends with Donald Trump. And if he doesn't know all of this stuff, he will know. In fact, of course, Alex Jones and Trump have been on this. He's been on Alex's show. And, of course, Roger Stone's on Alex's show all the time. So there's no way that Trump doesn't know everything, Austin. He knows what's going on, and he's trying to get us all to go together. That's why it's not a candidacy with Donald Trump. It's a movement. It's a political movement to go back to nationalism and to get away from all of this disastrous mess that these Democrats and these globalists and these Bushes, I'm gonna put them in there with it, because they're not, the globalists are not nationalists. I mean, the nationalists and the Bushes are not nationalists. They want to destroy the sovereignty of the United States. Prescott Bush tried to do it in 1933 already, turned it into a fascist dictatorship, and they've never stopped trying. That's been their big goal, because they want to get it underneath the thumb in the direction of Lucifer. Read the book, Pawns of the Game by William Carr. He describes what's going on in better detail than I just did. What's your next story, Oz?
This is interesting now, too. Over in the UK, in England, and in Wales now, shocking police figures have now been released for England and Wales, showing nearly 900 Syrians have been arrested just since last year, with all kinds of sick charges, including rapes and child abuse. Critics are now concerned that the thousands of Syrians entering Britain each year under the resettlement schemes are being allowed to enter the country unchecked, which we know they are, involving in all kinds of just basically sinister behavior, and there's nothing anybody's doing to stop them. They're supposed to be taking in another 20,000 Syrian refugees by the end of 2020, which is interesting, because, I mean, they're a pretty small country up there. They're not very big. I know Germany, though, has taken in over 1 million just last year. So this is wild, guys. I mean, we talked about it last year in detail, and it's getting worse, and it's becoming worse, and nobody really wants to talk about it except the independent media. I mean, why is this not on CNN? Why is this not on Fox? Why is this not getting brought up about these heinous crimes these people are involved in? I mean, they had 900 arrests in 1 year involving these guys. That means three of these people are getting arrested every single day, and they're all confirmed directly from Syria. I mean, does anybody not see an issue with that type of behavior, with that type of group of individuals, that they can't follow rules in a civilized society? I do. I guess nobody else does. But this isn't something we can deal with, and this is why Trump is so opposed to this massive immigration from these Middle Eastern countries without massive vetting and checking to see what these people's real agenda is for coming into this country. I mean, it's just a simple fact. We can't keep taking more people in that want to do harm towards us. We, quite frankly, can't be taking many more people in regardless. We already have almost 50 million people in the United States on food stamps. We don't need to be adding another 100,000 every single year for migrants that don't even know how to speak English here, so we can keep feeding them more food with money that we don't have, borrowed from the Federal Reserve at interest that we can't pay back. It doesn't take a whole lot of reasoning sense to figure this out, guys, and that's why Dad just said, and it's pretty much ditto the same thing, Trump's the only one that's made any sense about this in years, and he's a nationalist, and that's why I think so many people are really starting to support him.
Well, now they're saying he's a Nazi, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. He's either a Nazi or a racist. That's always the card.
I believe it was his father or his grandfather was a German, which is good. You know, and then the other one was Scottish. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, the thing about it is that, you know, that doesn't mean he's a Nazi. What it means is that he's proud to be part of the United States, and he's proud to be an American, and he wants the pride back in this country. I mean, first thing Obama did is ran around and apologized and bowed down to everybody on the planet that may have ever been offended at all by something the United States did. And don't get me wrong, the United States has done a bunch of crap it shouldn't have done, okay? I got that. I'm not even trying to defend that. But dog, I mean, what'd you do? You start apologizing to the Japanese for something that happened back in 1945? Are you joking me? I mean, everybody who did all that's pretty much dead now. I mean, there's no reason to apologize for that, except for he's just taking that posturing of just being just a complete and total just snake in the grass. I mean, it's ridiculous. We still have military bases in Japan. If he wants to apologize for anything else, apologize for having military bases in Japan and pull the military bases out, Austin. That's what I would do. Give them their sovereignty back. It's nonsense. But don't go around and just cow down to everybody on the whole planet for stuff that happened. You know, you might as well start apologizing to England for the 1776 revolt. Are you joking? But that's what he's trying to do. He said it, though. I'll give the boy credit, okay? I'll give the Kenyan the credit. He said, I'm going to fundamentally transform the United States of America. And I didn't think he could do it in 8 years. And he did it. He did it. He brought us so far down this slippery slope of globalism in 8 years. And Hillary's going to take that mantle and continue with it. This is all the Bush's mess. This is the Bush's dynasty. We've been under Bush rule for 36 years. Because he took over the Reagan presidency after Reagan got shot, ran the whole thing, then ran his own presidency, controlled the Clinton presidency, controlled George W., obviously, and now he's controlled Barack Obama, and now he'll be controlling Hillary for 8 more years. We're going to have almost a half a century of Bush control in the White House, and that's why this country's gone down this slippery slope into hell. And if we don't stop, and these guys go to Bohemian Grove, really, really? If nothing else that they've done besides that were made public, every Christian on the planet and in this country should stand opposed to them and never vote for another one of their candidates again, period, Austin. That's how I look at that. What's your next story, buddy?
Oh, yeah, this is interesting, too, now. It looks like Jeb Bush, as you were just speaking about it, they've essentially, his top advisor, Sally Bradshaw, has left the GOP and is now supporting Clinton. So it is funny because you were talking about earlier, I think last week, is that the, you know, Bush, Jeb Bush wouldn't even support Trump as the nominee, even though they all signed that they would do so for one another if it happened. They completely basically boycotted it because it doesn't go along with their New World Order agenda, as you were just saying.
Yep. Guys, there's the music. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate you buying at least your multiple vitamin from us and supporting Health Masters. Sorry I was in and out of the show today. God bless you guys. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Go ahead and close, Oz.
Yep, we appreciate it, guys. The HGH Stimulate is still on product of the week until Wednesday morning. If you guys want to scoop it up, you got 2 more days. If you need anything, email us or call us. You guys have a blessed night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.